Our reading for Saturday, May 2nd, begins in Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance, and he saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate, and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. On the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and his close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter, lifting him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And he talked with him. He went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask you then why you sent for me." Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa, and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So Peter opened his mouth and said, Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Today's was a little bit longer reading, but I wanted to try to get to a good spot for a conclusion. In chapter 11, Peter recounts all of this and gives his own conclusions, but I want to go back and just cover what we've read for today. We read about the healing of Aeneas. This is just another sign that was done that led to the belief of many, believing in the things that Peter was preaching. Likewise, Dorcas being brought back to life. I would just, make a couple of comments about Dorcas in that she was full of good works and acts of charity, which all Christians should be. We may not have the same talents as Dorcas, making things for people, but that doesn't mean that we can't show our love through particular actions. And they don't have to be huge things for people to appreciate. Just showing concern for others, doing something for others. Doesn't matter whether, for example, during this time of being sequestered because of our concerns about the virus, maybe you would go and do the grocery shopping for someone who didn't want to be exposed to the virus. That's something that you could do. Maybe it's just, going over and helping with a project around the house. I've told a few times in classes some of the things that were done for us in times in which we had particular troubles going on in our lives. There's little things that can be done that make a huge impact on others. And I can't say for sure, but, Dorcas would probably say that these were small things that she was doing, but look at the impact that they had on others. It says the widow stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made. She was showing her love and concern for others, utilizing the talents that she had. And so this led to the strengthening of the saints, as well as many more believing in the Lord. Then we get to Peter and Cornelius. Now, just a couple of comments. Of course, Cornelius is listed as someone who feared God. He gave alms. He prayed to God. This is the type of person that the world would look at and say, that's a good person. That's somebody that I could truly commend their character. I could commend the things that they do and the care that they have for other people. But understand that that is not the standard of a covenant relationship with God. It is not enough to be a good person. It is not enough to even say that we believe that there is a God or even believe in God if we have not fully been obedient to His will in order to accept the covenant with God and take advantage of His offer of forgiveness and fellowship with Him. So it was not enough that Cornelius feared God, gave alms, and prayed to God. It did not make any difference that all the Jews held him in high regard. These things were not the standard of the covenant with God. And so he has sent this vision that says, send men to Joppa, bring one Simon who is called Peter, because he needed to heed the word of the Lord. He needed to hear it and then do something with it. We're going to see that in just a moment. So it's not just enough, though, that this angel appears to Peter. I mean, excuse me, to Cornelius. There needed to be this vision of Peter, too. Peter was a Jew. Peter had the same conception of a Gentile that pretty much any Jew of that time would have. They were considered to be outside of you know, being God's people as Jews before Jesus came, and that carried over after Jesus came. They still had that conception that the gospel was strictly for the Jews, despite prophecy, by the way, and despite some of the things that Jesus said that we looked at in the book of John. But Peter needed to be convinced. And so first he's given this vision regarding a change from what they always consider to be unclean to what God has made clean. And of course they're talking about food, but Peter understands that this is going to relate to Cornelius. And we're going to see that when we continue reading and Peter gives a report about all of these things. But at the end of this vision, the Spirit tells him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them. So he needed to be able to draw the conclusions, the necessary inference about the vision. And in order to do that, he needed to know these people were sent. And again, we're going to be looking at more of that when we get into chapter 11, when he explains these things. But they come, they're looking for him. He says, I'm the one that you're looking. He asks them why they're looking for him. They tell him about Cornelius, and it says he invited them in to be his guests. As far as I can tell, these would have been Gentiles too, by the way. But he did invite them in to be his guests. He showed hospitality. Then the next day he rose and went away with them and some of the brothers that would have been Jews that were in the church at the time from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. He had called together his relatives and his close friends. Cornelius understood that whatever Peter was going to bring by the command of God was not something that was just for him. It was going to be for anyone else too. And so he called the people that he cared about. He cared about their spiritual well-being too, their place before God. So he called them so they could hear it at the same time. Cornelius meets him, falls down at his feet. Peter says, no, that's not right. I'm just a man like you are. And he goes in, he finds all these people. And he makes this comment in verse 28. You know yourselves how it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation, that is, Gentiles. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. There's his necessary inference that he made from the vision and from the Spirit telling him that he sent these people to come get him. So he says, verse 29, so when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask why you've sent me. Cornelius tells him about being told by the angel that he needed to send for him. And so Peter, verse 34, responds to that and says, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. He makes that comment for our benefit, for the benefit of the brothers then, but understand this is Peter coming to this conclusion at this point too. He has realized God does not show partiality, that the gospel was for all. So understand that even though Peter has the Holy Spirit and he's inspired, he still has to make his own decisions. And so being inspired doesn't take away the fact that he has to come to certain conclusions on his own with his own faith. It doesn't override those things. Verse 35, in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, you yourselves know. So everything that happened with Jesus was well known enough that even among Gentiles he can say, you know. And he recounts some of these things to remind them about what they have probably heard. Verse 39, they put him to death. Verse 40, God raised him up. Verse 41, he appeared to us as witnesses. Verse 42, he told us to preach to the people and to testify that he truly was the one appointed by God. And verse 43, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, at this point, Peter has come to certain conclusions. We don't know anything about his brethren, and we don't know anything about what the response would have been if the story ended right here, without the next little section, what the story would have been when the other apostles and the other Jews heard about all of this. But in order to open up the church to the Gentiles, God does something that would answer any question they would have about their acceptance. He does something that he never does again, and that we never have recorded for us again. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. At this point, they have not been baptized. They're not even saved yet. But they are believing the things that Peter said. In order for God to overcome any objections by them, he has to answer beyond any shadow of a doubt whether he would accept these individuals, whether he would accept Gentiles into the church. That's why he does this in this way. Cornelius is unique. Okay? Being the first Gentiles, he is very unique in the New Testament. And so those that came with Peter, they were amazed that the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. By the way, this is not meaning that it's the same thing the apostles received on the day of Pentecost. It is not that magnitude of receiving the Holy Spirit that they would be able to pass it on to anyone else by the laying on of hands. That's not what it's saying whatsoever. This was simply a sign that God was giving that he was accepting these individuals to become Christians. So that's when verse 47, the question is asked, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people? Remember, we're baptized for the remission of sins, chapter 2 and verse 38. So they have not received the remission of sins yet. So who would withhold that after God has given this sign? That's what he's asking. And then he commands them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked him to remain for some days. There would have been more teaching that would have need to be done in order to establish them so they know what their responsibilities are after that point. Now, we're going to get into chapter 11 in tomorrow's reading, where he goes back over these things and gives some explanations. So come back tomorrow for that, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.